I want to give you all a very warm welcome tonight to the meeting here in the auditorium. We thank you for coming, and we trust that the gospel will be of interest to you, because it does concern one's eternal well-being for all eternity. So we're going to read tonight from the scriptures. We'll turn first of all to the book of Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. And we'll read at verse 24 concerning a man called Felix. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul, the apostle Paul, and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance or self-control, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, notice, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." He hoped also that money should have been given him of Paul, that he might loose him. Wherefore he sent for him the oftener and communed with him. But after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, into his office, took over the job. And Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. No record that Felix ever was saved. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, please. John chapter 4. John's Gospel chapter 4. And we'll read it verse 46. John 4 verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The nobleman said unto him, "Sir, come down, ere my child die." Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, "Thy son liveth." Then inquired he of them the hour when he began to amend. And they said unto him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was at the same hour in the which Jesus said unto him, "Thy son liveth," and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he was come out of Judea into Galilee. Now the Lord will bless to us the readings from his word. You'll notice that we've read tonight, maybe you didn't, but maybe you did, about two noblemen. Two different noblemen that we read about in the New Testament. One was called Felix, and the other one, we don't know his name, other than he lived at a place called Capernaum. But we notice in both stories, the same words are used. In Acts chapter 24, the first man that we read about, this man called Felix, he says to the Lord's servant, "Go thy way. Go thy way." Felix evidently never was saved. He dismissed what he heard. And he dismissed the Lord's servant, as it were, in that way. He said, "Go thy way." When we come to John chapter 4, we have the Lord himself speaking to a nobleman. And he says to him, "Go thy way. Thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus spoke unto him. He went his way and he found out that at that very moment, his son was given new life. And the man had the blessing that he sought of the Lord. because he believed his word. You know, what I want to draw from that is just this evening, that when the gospel is preached and presented to individuals, there is a reaction. Either on the one hand, like the people in Athens, when Paul preached in Acts chapter 17, it says some mocked. And some said, oh, we'll hear you again, like Felix. In other words, those two cases there in Acts chapter 17 and Felix, what they're doing is they're dismissing what they heard. They're dismissing it. But on the other hand, we have that man in John chapter 4, and as he hears the word of the Lord Jesus, he depends upon it. He steps out in faith upon it, literally. And down the road he goes. And at that moment, his son lived. He had the blessing. So when the gospel is preached, when Christ is presented to individuals, there is either a dismissal of the word, they believe it not, or there is a dependence upon it. And that word is embraced by faith. And the blessing that Christ offers, the blessing of salvation, is yours to have and to hold from this day forward, forever and forever. Amen. Now, let's come and take a look at this man, Felix. He had a tremendous privilege. He had the privilege of actually listening to the Apostle Paul preach the gospel of Christ. That must have been a wonderful thing. So far as Paul was concerned, Christ was everything to him. I mean, you talk about a man that was passionate about his subject. The Lord Jesus Christ had drastically changed the course of this man's life, literally on the Damascus Road. When Paul encountered that light from heaven, he was stopped in his tracks. He had been rebelling against the Lord, and he knew it. And at that moment, on the Damascus Road, he understood that the Jesus who was crucified at Calvary, was raised from the dead, and was the Lord from heaven. And bowing his soul in submission to him, embracing him as a Savior, he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Paul's life was drastically changed. And from then on, he made it a point, made it his business in life, to tell everyone that he came in contact with about the Christ that had saved the chief of sinners. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, said Paul, of whom I am chief. So you couldn't meet the Apostle Paul without him opening up the gospel to you, presenting the gospel of Christ. For him to live, he said, for to me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. He was looking forward to that moment when he would be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ forever. So Paul now is brought into contact with this nobleman, this man called Felix, and he's preaching the gospel to him. You notice what he takes up as a subject. It says that he spoke to him about righteousness, about that which is right with God. I have no doubt but Paul would open to Felix understanding the principles of, well, the Ten Commandments, God's righteous standard for human life on earth. As he would go down through, Felix could tick them off. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Guilty as charged. Righteousness. That God's righteousness is inflexible. That is, justice cannot be compromised. That God is absolutely holy. That God's standard is perfection. Spoke to him about righteousness and about self-control. About man's duty before God of keeping himself in control and living his life according to what God expects of him. And about judgment to come. That this life is not all there is to it. That a man or a woman is accountable to God. that there is a day in the which he will judge the world. Felix, you have got to meet. There's not a man can stand before God and argue his case. Every mouth will be stopped and all the world will become guilty before God. So Paul preached to him about the stern justice of God. To a man like Felix, who was an arrogant man, evidently an ex-slave that had risen to to this position. He'd married many wives, apparently, and this Drusilla was another man's wife that he had taken. So here was a man who was not living righteously, was not exercising self-control, and who had God to meet. You know, I don't know my audience here tonight. I don't know every individual that's here. I know some of you, but not all. But I do know this. That no matter what your background is, no matter how you have been raised, there's no difference. For the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every single person here tonight, and in North America, and on planet Earth, has fallen far short of God's perfect standard of righteousness. We are every one of us sinners, guilty as charged, in the eyes of a holy God. Now, Felix had a certain amount of interest in what he was hearing, and I trust that tonight your very presence here is indicative of the fact that you have an interest in hearing what the gospel has to say. That's good. I see Felix making inquiry because it says that he sent for Paul. You know, it's a good thing to have an inquiring mind when it comes to the gospel. To look into it and to try to understand it. I see his earnestness. It says that he heard him. He had his ears open to hear what the apostle was saying. And that's good because faith cometh by hearing and hearing the word of God as it's preached. But I just want to remind you at this point, remember, this man misses it. This man misses it. So it's not enough to have an inquiring mind. Why, that's good. And it's not enough to be earnest about the matter and opening your ears and listening attentively. That is good, but that in itself is not salvation. You do not win any favor with God by simply coming to a gospel meeting. You do not win any brownie points or favor with God by attending church or saying prayers or reading the Bible. All of that may be well and good. But that in itself is not salvation, or all of it put together. Not only that, but he was endeavoring to understand. It says that as he reasoned. I like that because it means that, you know what? The man had his brain in gear. He was turning it over in his mind. He was endeavoring to understand it. He wasn't sitting with a look on his face like a deer in the headlights type of thing. He was actually engaged in what was being said. That's good. We're glad you're listening tonight. But that in itself was not salvation. And all of this had an impact upon him because it says that Felix actually trembled. As Felix realized that his life before the eye of God, who is absolutely holy, falls far short and he has God to meet, the ultimate authority in the universe, says that Felix actually trembled. I want to ask you tonight in the meeting, you ever trembled about the fact that you have God to meet? That there is a day when you will stand, if you die in your sins, before a great white throne. And all the toys are gone. There's nothing left but sinners standing before God. The books are open. judged out of those things that are written in the books according to their works, to be cast into the lake of fire for those not found written in the book of life, for those that die without God's great salvation. And so Felix says to Paul, he says, Paul, I'm impressed. Man, that is strong stuff that I have God to meet. It scares me to the very core of my being. But then he says, Paul, go thy way. And all it took was for Felix to think that there would be a convenient season when he would hear the apostle again. And evidently Felix missed his day of opportunity. I'm talking to boys and girls here tonight, and you've heard the gospel all your life. Tonight you're still not saved. Why not? Maybe the reason is just like Felix here. All it has taken for you up until this moment to miss God's salvation is this thought that someday, you're going to be saved. Felix missed it. Though Felix trembled. What a tragedy. I want to tell you about Jeff. Earlier this month, we had meetings in a place called Gaze Mills in Wisconsin. Brother Rich Dudgeon brought a client of his along to hear the gospel. He came into the tent on crutches. I can see him coming in. He sat down. And he listened carefully. Lingered behind it after the meeting and talked to some of the brothers. Last Friday night, a week ago, he went to the second meeting in a place called Boscobel, Wisconsin. Gospel was being preached in a tent. I sat behind Jeff, my wife and I, and I noticed during the meeting that that man was tuned in. That man was listening. I want to tell you, he was tuned in to the message, and it was a solemn meeting. God gave help to our brethren as they preached the gospel faithfully. And that man was listening. This past Monday, Brother Dudgeon thought that you'd try and get him out to the tent again. But Jeff said, I can't make it. I've got to go to the Farm Progress Show in Iowa. Monday night, I got a call from Brother Rich. He says, you remember Jeff Glassbrenner? Sure do. He was killed today in a tractor rollover. I should have told you this. The doctor had given Jeff until next spring to live. He had cancer. And we prayed for him. And we preached for him. And our brother sought to bring him to hear the gospel and hear it again. Because he had a limited time just to next spring. Maybe he thought he had another opportunity coming down the line sometime like Felix, when I have a convenient season. Whatever. But last Monday he went out to meet God and into eternity. Left no testimony behind. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed tomorrow night. The only moment that God gives you is right now. What will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Let's take a look at a man who had an encounter with the Lord Jesus. From John chapter 4, we read about a nobleman. And it's interesting to notice, first of all, in John's gospel, that right from the very first chapter, there are a variety of people that have an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. In chapter 1, it's fishermen. And in chapter 2, it's a young married couple. In chapter 3, I take it, it's an older man, Nicodemus, that comes to Jesus by night. In chapter 4, it's a dear woman who has had many broken relationships in her life, and she meets the Lord Jesus. And in chapter 4 again, we have this nobleman. And in each case, we find that each one of them They receive a blessing from Christ because they receive Christ. And I want to just draw that a little point from that. No matter what your background is tonight here in the meeting, I don't know you and I don't know your background or where you're from or what your experiences have been, but I do know this. I know that you need the Lord Jesus as your Savior. And I know this, that if you receive Him tonight as your Savior, He will save you. And it'll be something you never regret. We sang it tonight, none but Christ can satisfy. Millions have proved it, and we prove it and testify to it again tonight. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's lasting joy. Lord Jesus found in thee. It's the only life worth living, to live in communion with God and with His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, a Savior of sinners like me. The nobleman, he had a son. He watched him deteriorate. Situation was bad and it was getting worse. Well, he had heard about Jesus, but he was down in Judea. And then in the village of Capernaum, the word comes that Jesus has come up out of Judea and he's now back in Galilee and he's over the hill there in the village of Canaan. And this man, understanding the desperate need of his son, it says in verse 47 that he was at the point of death. At the point of death. It motivated him to get on the road and go and meet the Lord Jesus. I trust tonight in the meeting there's nobody just at the point of death, you know, literally speaking. I don't know. I didn't know about Jeff last week. But we must needs die, every one of us. And it is appointed unto man once to die, and we don't know the moment when it's coming. But death is not the end, and after death there is the judgment. We got to meet God. If we meet Him in our sins, we'll be lost forever. This man knew his desperate need, and so he's going to do something about it. He seeks the Savior, hears that He has come back into Galilee, and so up the road to the village of Cana he goes. And he understands, this is my opportunity, it's now or never, my son is getting worse and worse, he's going to die. If he continues in this condition, he's going to die. I got to meet Jesus. And so up the road he goes. He went in the right direction. He went to the Savior. There's only one tonight that can meet your need, and that's the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's no other name under heaven or given among men whereby we must be saved. You need Him. You need to come to Him. And so the man arrives in the village of Canaan, and it says that he asked the Lord Jesus to come down and heal his son. It says that he besought Him. And the idea is he kept at it. He had the right desire. He really, really wanted the Lord Jesus to do the good thing for his son and raise him back up to health and give him new life again. And he wanted it so badly. The right desire. Say, really, tonight in the meeting, just now, do you have a sincere desire to be saved? You'll never just drift into it or dream your way into it or grow your way into it. There must be in your soul a priority to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If you have an interest in your soul tonight, you go after that. Don't let anything interfere with it. This man, he kept at it. He besought Him and kept asking. And then, well, there was a problem because he had it all figured out how it was going to happen. He says to the Lord Jesus, you're going to have to come down to Capernaum. You're up here in Cana of Galilee and 18 miles away across country, down there in the village of Capernaum at the north end of the Sea of Galilee, there is my son, and he's at the point of death. He's about to die. You're going to have to come down to heal him. And he had it all figured out, how it was going to happen. Like Naaman in the Old Testament. And so he has the design all wrong. He was actually limiting the power of the Lord Jesus to heal that boy down there in Cana or Capernaum while he was in Canaan of Galilee. He was limiting the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He thought he had to come down. You know, there's only one way in which God will save anybody. And that's when he does it all. And you let him. So the Lord Jesus, he says to this man, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." What would you have done? If it had been your son, what would you have done? Would you have said, "Well, how do I know that he lives? How would I know that he's going to be I could go away down there. How would I?" Is that what the man did? It says that the man believed the word of Jesus. And he stepped out upon it. And turned his back and off he went down the road to Capernaum. And you know what? The very moment he did that, the very moment he trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, in that moment of time, his son, 18 miles away, was healed. You know, salvation works in exactly the same way. "He that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Your soul needs the Savior tonight. You need God's salvation. You need everlasting life. And God says, "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Will you trust him tonight? Will you take God at his word? Don't put it off like Felix. Don't put it off like Jeff. You come to Christ tonight and receive him as your Savior. You trust him for salvation, and he will save you right now. "Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." May God give you the grace to come to him tonight, take him as your Savior, and be saved for time forever.